ESPN college football analyst Alex Scarborough, welcome inside the game. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. How are you, Ryan?
Good. Have you got all your vacation time in? Are you ready for fall camp?
You know, I was tempted to squeeze another one in, but I decided my couch was a much better place to spend my time.
I agree.
So, I'm ready. I can't believe it's here at the end of this week that we finally get started, but you know, there's no time like the present.
You know, Alex, and I'm not saying that just because we're involved in the media business, and it will help us that it's going to be a very active fall camp, because there's going to be more engagement in your articles, your tweets, this radio program. But I cannot remember one of those fall camps like this one that we're faced with so much competition at so many different key positions. It's going to be a fun fall camp. The next 30 days are going to be hot and heavy.
Well, it's been a few years since we've had Alabama not coming off a national championship and not welcoming back an incumbent starter at quarterback. So I think those two things alone are pretty intriguing. And then you throw in all the other position battles on top of that, and you've got a team that is not, I don't think you can say rebuilding, but definitely in transition. And anytime you have that, there's a lot to talk about, a lot of again, like you said, points of engagement. It's going to be a lot of back and forth until we get to week one. And you know, you think fall camp came quickly. I know we're going to run through August like a sprint.
It will be a lot of fun. Alex Scarborough right now from ESPN, ESPN college football analyst inside the game. What is that biggest competition as you're watching? What is that key competition that you've got your eye on?
You know, the most obvious one is quarterback, but I believe so much that Jacob Coker is going to win that job just because of the way he fits into the offense. And I get the argument that, yes, Blake Sims brings something different into the offense given his athleticism, but people forget that Jacob is almost as athletic, has some speed, and ran a wing T type of offense in high school, so he knows how to do that. Putting that aside, I think, you know, the two cornerback positions are going to be, to me, the most intriguing ones to watch. There are a couple of guys who have been in the program a while, Bradley Sills, Cyrus Jones, to name a few. But I think the ones that the fans and then the ones that myself are really intrigued to see is how does Tony Brown develop after hurting his shoulder in that spring camp, and how does Marlon Humphrey look in his first action? Those are two five-star cornerbacks with a ton of talent, no experience, and a lot of potential. So it'll be interesting to see how those two spots on the defensive side of the ball really play out.
You know, when we're anticipating something, and it's sort of like, you know, you're as a kid, you go to a theme park the night before, you know, you're not able to sleep, you know, you're up all night because you're anticipating something that's going to be fun. As Nick Saban lays down tonight and tomorrow night, as he approaches Thursday when players report, Friday for practice, two practice sessions, split squad, I look at Nick Saban. What's keeping him up at night? What's the big concern that you have around this fall camp? Where does he need to get answers from other than those key competitions? What's the area of concern for Nick Saban?
Oh, I think given the offseason, given the off-the-field troubles, I think he probably wants to see what the mindset of this football team is. It's been all positive as far as what's being said, as far as, you know, all we've heard about putting in the work in the offseason. How are they going to respond that first day of camp? How are they going to respond when 2 days hits and everybody's out there, it's 95 degrees and you're tired and don't want to do it anymore? Are they going to be able to push through? Now, I don't think anything's keeping Nick Saban up. And I think this is the kind of situation where he gets a little bit giddy, because he can talk about the chip on their shoulder. He can talk about position battles and fighting for playing time. And maybe more so in years past, it actually means something, because there aren't so many entrenched starters. There isn't defending a national or even an SEC championship. He can go in the locker room and give every, you know, grade A speech he's gotten in his back pocket, and it should have some resonance with this team. So I think there's a lot he's looking at in terms of on the field. I think there's a lot he's looking at in terms of the attitude, who develops as leaders on this team, because they're going to need some strong leadership as always. But I think he's got to be somewhat a little bit happy to be able to go in and have that chip on his shoulder, unlike in years past. I think it's a lot easier to coach from that perspective than to coach from having a lead and trying to keep it.
You know, one of the concerns that I have, and I'll see if you share this with me, as I was on a radio show earlier today in North Alabama, is I was looking at key positions. You know, you worry about left tackle. You worry about who's going to emerge as that number one guy on the quarterback perspective, who's going to get most of the carries at the running back perspective. But, you know, I don't know if the talent's here. I'm concerned about punter and place kicking. It just, that's my concern going into fall camp. I don't know if we have the talent here when you depend on a really true freshman arriving out of high school and sort of being that guy that, you know, you can count on. Is that a concern for you, place kicking and punting?
You know, I'm as guilty as anyone for not talking about this enough, but you're absolutely right. Special teams and specifically the kicking and punting game, it's going to be interesting, to say the least, because you really don't want your third-string quarterback being your first-string punter. You have to be concerned after A-Day and what you saw late last year about Adam Griffith. He's got all the talent in the world, but psyche is a huge thing. We saw that with Cade Foster. There was never a doubt about how strong his leg was. It was between the ears when the pressure's on, how is he going to handle it? And every so often, he didn't handle it so well. So I think you have to be concerned with those two positions. I think it's going to be Griffith at quarterback, at kicker. I think it's going to be J.K. Scott, the true freshman, at punter, if I had to guess at this point. But that's going to be huge. This is a team that relies heavily on field position, both on offense and putting the defense, putting the opposing offense in a bad field position on defense, conversely. So I think you have to be tremendously concerned. I think a lot of teams in the league have that concern as well. I was out of Mississippi State's camp in the spring, and their kicking game was absolutely dreadful. You look at everybody who's left from last year that we knew of at the kicking and punting roles. I think A&M's got a great punter. Outside of that, who really knows? And that's the third phase of this game, and it's cliche, but it really is just as important. If you screw up punting, you screw up kicking field goals, you're not going to win a lot of football games. So those things have to definitely be righted at Alabama. But to make Tide fans feel any better, they're not the only ones in this case, in the SEC especially.
Well, I thought at times in the spring, I thought Saban was going to look over to the media and say, can you guys kick? Anybody over there? I mean, I'd have to nominate you. Tall guy. I mean, you would sort of fit that punter profile. Tall guy. You've probably got a pretty good leg on you. You know, I mean, at times I thought Nick Saban was desperate out there. He needed somebody, you know, to punt the football, to change the field position, because you've got a great defense. You know, you don't need to continue to give up 5, 10, 15-yard short punts, and that's what they did all A-Day, which is a concern, hopefully not a concern in 30 days. They get that question answered. Alex, I move to another question. Jacob Coker, Blake Sims, I know we talked about it as we opened up, but how long will this competition go on? Because, you know, you think about Jacob Coker, he could benefit from some of those first-string reps if he's clear and far the better quarterback, which I think most of us are predicting he's going to be the quarterback when the fall camp ends and going into West Virginia in 32 days. But as we look at it, what point will he make the announcement? Not the announcement, but will one of those guys start getting more of the first-string reps with that offensive line, building that team chemistry with the wide receivers and the backs?
See, I think those are. It's important to note that those are two separate things. The quarterback battle in the media sphere is going to go on as long as Nick Saban wants it to. I mean, we saw it at media days how he wanted to deflect attention away from Jacob Coker, and he talked about at points how it would be unfair to talk about him in a positive light without talking about the quarterbacks already on campus, and even mentioning the possibility of a two quarterback system. He's doing everything he can to tamp down the hype, and it's totally understandable. At the same time, you can't deny the fact that Jacob fits this system best, has a cannon for an arm. We heard it from both Christian Jones and Amari Cooper, even Landon Collins. They're obviously not in awe of his talent, but definitely appreciative of it, and I think that's going to give him the edge. I think his maturity, being a redshirt junior, being a guy who's three plus years in a very similar system at Florida State, I don't see how he can't separate himself early on, especially when you're just putting him and Blake Sims up against one another. With all due respect to Blake Sims, he's not the passer that Jacob Coker is. And at the end of the day, this is a Nick Saban offense, not a Lane Kiffin offense, not a Doug Nussmeier, not a Jim McElwain. It is a Nick Saban offense that wants a quarterback who can sit in the pocket and deliver the football. If Jacob Coker can obviously do that, can you do it without limiting turnovers? I think he can, and I think I expect him to pull away early, and I expect it to be done by week one. That said, would it surprise me at all if Nick Saban decided he wanted to draw it out and give Blake Sims the nod because he's a senior and he's been there long? Maybe so. This is all in Nick Saban's lap, but I expect Coker to pull away early.
Great prediction. Let me start with a couple of others. You've hit the punter, you've hit the place kicker, you've hit the quarterback. Let me go to the left tackle. Do you start a true freshman in Cam Robinson?
I think the upside for Cam is too great that you can afford not to start him. It's a long way of saying yes. I do think he'll be the starter. I think sending him out there at A-Day was an indication of that. I don't think you do that unless you feel good about his abilities. I think the defense he goes up against every day, the defensive line is going to be as good as anything he sees in the rest of the SEC. So as long as he continues on an upward trajectory, I think he'll be fine. That may be a little bit to ask of a guy who's a true freshman. But remember, we saw good things out of Cyrus Kwanjo as a true freshman before he went down with an injury. So I think there's the openness as a coaching staff to do that, and I think there's the talent there. And I don't see somebody else on this roster, unless Dominic Jackson comes in and really just wows people. I think it's his job. I think you kind of have to look a little bit toward the future and say that, man, if we can get him the experience as a true freshman and he plays well, to have a guy coming back that following year with that kind of experience under his belt, that's invaluable. I think it's got to be Cam. I think he's clearly the front runner at that position.
Alex Scarborough right now, Inside the Game, ESPN.com, college football analyst. You can connect with him, Alex_ESPN on the Twitter account. Let me go into one more question. Running back, is there a competition for that first string running back, or do you think TJ Yeldon's the guy?
I think TJ Yeldon's the guy. I think until he goes out there and fumbles twice in one game, I think he's the guy. I think as long as he can hold on to the football, he has done entirely too much in his all too brief career. He's got something like 2,300 career yards, which I'll remind you is I think third in terms of returning rushing yardage in all of college football. I mean, that can't be understated. He may not be the fastest, he may not be the most explosive, but he'll get you 3 to 6 yards every single time. And I think that dependability, both as a runner in the passing game, as a route runner and a blocker, I think all that combined, I think he's going to be the starter. And I think it may be like a 1A, 1B type of situation like we've seen in the past with Derrick Henry, getting close to maybe a 60-40 kind of split. But Yeldon's done way too much for him not to get the nod at that position.
63 hours away from fall camp, less than 100 hours until we get a chance to speak with Lane Kiffin for the first time as an offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama. You looking forward to that?
Oh, absolutely. I hope it goes better. I went back and watched the video of the press conference from him leaving Tennessee.
Oh, me too.
That reminded me a little bit of how bad things can get. So I don't expect anything even quite similar to that. It'll be fun to finally hear him in person talk about the job and talk about, you know, what he expects from it in this year. There's going to be a lot of eyes on him, that's for sure.